Bring City Council meeting to order on Wednesday, February 8th at 7:03 p.m. It's in City Hall, City of Yamhill. I think I covered all that. May I get a roll call, please?
Horgan here.
Ichari here.
Potter here.
Hedin here.
That's and here.
Thank you. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of America.
All right, we'll begin public comment. Will you ask for the board from Donna, please? Can you pass it down?
Thank you.
If you're interested in public comment, if the time, please come and sign in and I will call upon you to do so. We are, before we get started, I just want everybody to know we've got a lot of business to cover this evening. And so we are going to move quickly through things and not stop for conversation. So you please take your time for comment. If you're here for as an individual, we will allow you 3 minutes. If you're here as a group, we will allow you 5 minutes. And so please use your time wisely. Mr. Jay Disbro, would you like public comment?
Yeah, Jay Disbro, 515 East Main Street. I see that the public works buildings are really looking nice down there. Beautiful job. Also, I see in the agenda the project for water meters. Both of those are about 4 years overdue. Really glad to see them. But the other disappointing part is the revolving door at Public Works. I understand the last new employee left. So we're down to three again. That's disappointing. The other thing I see in the agenda is upgrading the police vehicle fleet. Why haven't you looked at upgrading the Public Works vehicle fleet? There's been budget lines in there for leases for the last couple of years. Go for it. And I see that the maintenance line in the budget are significant to repair what existing vehicles we have got. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lossley?
Yes, Rocky Lossley, Second Hemlock. I have just a couple items here. A couple of them all of them for clarification. In the municipal code chapter, and this is just me, no other organization. I'm a one-person organization. chapter 1.08, which is council rules, section 1.08.010. What would that be? 0.010. Regular meeting date and time, which is identified in the municipal code as second and fourth Wednesday. And if the council chooses not to have one of those meetings, it is to be identified in the business of the council to eliminate it or to not meet. So are we going by that, or because to the best of my knowledge, for a number of years now, it's one council meeting per month, unless maybe there's a special. I'll leave that with you and you can chew on that.
Thank you.
The next item has to do with the budget, and it has to do with language identifying the Planning Commission in section 1.16.080. I better skip that one for now because I find an error in my note. So I will move on to 2006, the capital improvement program. There's in the year, budget year, project year 2006, 2007, implementation impound feasibility study. That was identified as a project. And it was not done in terms of the construction. But what was done, according to the information, is that there was an impound feasibility, an actual cost of $19,800, feasibility study for increasing the impound area. And the reason why it's so relative, and my question is being put to you, is because the purpose of improving the impoundment, improving the impoundment, AKS, today, preliminary feasibility study for raising impoundment reservoir dam. Now, a couple of questions here. Is that the same as the log jam issue?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, making sure of that. But this feasibility study was done, and the purpose of it was to increase raw water impoundment from the present 30 acre feet of water, to approximately 100 acre feet of water to provide uniform availability of water for in-stream flows during peak summer usage period. So I draw this to your attention because it's part of a review process. The study has been done. This is what it was supposed to accomplish. And it sounds like to me it would have been very helpful during the year 2021 water crisis. So the question would be, where are we on it? If you're not prepared to answer now, would you please somehow bring an answer or provide an answer at a reasonable future time? What would that be?
We'll cover it, I'm sure. If not us, the Water Advisory Committee will cover it. But it's been addressed, and so I'm sure you'll get an answer at some point.
Okay, great.
Thank you, though, Rocky. Appreciate your time. Ms. Perry.
I have just a couple things. One is, and I addressed this the last time the chief wanted to buy the SUV for town. If the vehicle that is going to be going out for surplus, it's a 2009. If the body of the vehicle, you know, all of that is in good shape, why not spend between $15,000 and $20,000 to get a new engine and possibly a new transmission in it versus $50,000+ to buy an SUV that, yes, the chief says they're pursuit ready, but how often, you know, do our officers go out on pursuit? And from the information that I found, is that even though it's pursuit ready, if they're trying to chase a car that, you know, has a hefty big V8 in it, they're not going to catch them anyway. So it's basically worthless for that kind of a thing. Going up in the hills, I can understand it, but not within the city or locally. So my other thing is, in the last water meeting that because I go to those, it was stated that there's unbilled water, whether it's from leakage or the meters are old or whatever the case may be. But my understanding is the fire, city hall, and possibly the school, with either some or most of their water not being billed. Why is that? Because I see, you know, the police cars getting washed out here, the school, their sprinklers are going for their, you know, their fields and all of that. Why isn't all of the places within the city being billed, especially the school, because they use a hefty amount of water and that would generate.
School is billed.
The school is
the
billed
entire.
And metered, yes.
Even their sprinklers.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So that goes back to City Hall and the fire department. I mean, you guys are using water too. You've got a general fund. You should be paying a water bill just like everybody else, in my opinion. I mean, it gets used. And it's a lot of it's not being built. So that's it.
Thank you very much. And Carrie, you signed in. Did you want to say for your presentation period, or do you have a public comment for personally?
Oh, we can wait till the presentation period.
And Jenny, same?
Thank you.
Is there anybody else for public comment?
Robert Davis, 212 North Maple Street. I just have a couple of light issues here out of my 12. And I'm going to skip the majority of it and just go directly to possibly putting some money in the in the coffers for the city here. Transportation grant. I'm not aware of any council meeting that I've attended in the last year where you have discussed anything about the transportation grant. And just recently, it was brought to my attention that the city of Carlton got a $175,000 grant. And I'm just wondering if Yamhill applied for the same grant or not. And if not, why not? And if you did, why didn't we make the cut? Because according to my research, Carlton only submitted their application with three paragraphs of documents. Three paragraphs. And that's all it took them to win the $175,000 grant. So I don't know who you got doing your grants and if you've got somebody doing your grants, but at a meeting previous to this for the water advisory, I was introduced to a gentleman who was a grant writer. I don't know if he's doing all your grants or not, but if he is, you might want to make mention that this transportation grant is available. And then safe school streets. Now, I know the main safe school streets, according to my research, is not possible because we don't have enough injuries. We don't have enough deaths. We're not a Portland. So we don't really qualify for the main safe school grant. However, there is a sub-grant underneath all that called Tech Assistance Grant. If the city has not is not privy to that, they might look into that and possibly get the lower grant and put some more money in our coffers. And then I went on to Main Street, where I found out that the Yamhill Downtown Association is the representative for Main Street, and Main Street writes a lot of grants and gives out a lot of money. And I was glad to see that somebody here in Yamhill has already stepped forward for that. So there's only one organization in the city that's allowed to represent the city for Main Street. So Yamhill Downtown Association is it. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Davis. Is that right? Any other public comment? If there's anybody online, please raise your hand and we'll unmute you for public comment.
No hands raised.
With no hands raised at this time, we'll go ahead and close public comment and move on to presentations and police department. That would be you.
I think technically that's me, Mayor Potter.
Is that thank you?
Thank you. Do I need to say my name for,
yes,
since I'm speaking? Corporal Van Cleve. And I wanted to take this opportunity to.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Say that again.
Corporal Van Cleve.
Corporal.
Police officer here since May 2007. I want to take this opportunity tonight to congratulate and recognize one of our officers. Officer Livingston has been a reserve with us 6 years ago today. We hired him. And if you were at a previous council meeting, he was acknowledged, recognized by a homeowner during a medical incident where a logger fell from a tree and he provided some life-saving efforts to him, but there was more to it than that we weren't able to address then. So with that being said, Officer Livingston, Over the last 6 years since he's been here, when Officer Miller or I go on vacation, take a day off, have to miss a shift for some reason, he fills in for us. He fills in for us very frequently, volunteering his hours, sometimes 20, 30, 40, 50 hours a month that he volunteers, in addition to being our school resource officer, which he does 20 hours a week. In addition to that, he is also a successful business owner, owns his own business that he runs on the side. So as a thank you, I'd like to present you with a token of our appreciation. And there is a gift basket that we'd like to give you from the city and from the police department for you and your wife. There is a weekend at a beach house, fully paid for, couples massage, dinner at McMenamin's Hotel, and dinner at the Pelican, and a bottle of wine and a bottle of whiskey for you to enjoy.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
It's awesome.
That's part of the weekend. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's go. We need to be there.
Okay. What kind of whiskey?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Very nice.
Thank you, Officer Livingston, very much for all, yes, all your service to our community. We know that a majority of that goes unpaid and probably a little unappreciated by some of us. So, but just know that you are appreciated and we are grateful that you are part of our community. Thank you.
Thank you,
ma'am. All right, Mr. Schultz, you have a presentation for us. Mr. Ross Schultz.
Your Honor?
Yes, sir.
My presentation was during work session. I don't believe I have a presentation for council this evening.
Okay. Are you able or interested to give a quick briefing on our recruiting process?
I'd be pleased to do that. As you are aware, we have narrowed the field to two candidates who will both be at a meet and greet this coming Thursday at the Larson House.
Next Thursday?
This coming Thursday, the 16th.
Next Thursday,
tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow. And it will be at 5:00. All citizens are encouraged to show up. We'll have a form for you to ask a question, and we'll ask both the candidates any question you want to get, and then we'll accept an evaluation after the meet and greet.
Wonderful.
And by the way, it's no host.
It's no host, is that what you said? Okay. Thank you. And that's, again, next Thursday, the 16th at 5 p.m., at Larson House?
Mm-hmm.
At Larson House. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schultz.
You bet. Thank you, Counselor.
All right, Mr. Christensen. The city met with your agency a few weeks back now, and we did a lot of kind of just catching up on things. Excuse me. I need you to buy it. Thank you very much. And so I wanted to give the community kind of a summary of the discussions and the workings with the city and AKS. Are you able to provide that?
Yes, indeed. Do you want me to cover just kind of the history of how we worked with the city, or more specifics on recent activities? Or
some of that, too, would be great, too.
Sure, yeah. So yeah. Feel free to jump in at any time and send me in the right direction here. But,
thank you, John.
Yeah. Mayor Potter invited me in tonight just to meet with the city council. I know I've met a lot of you over the years here, but it's been quite a few since I've been in person for a city council meeting. But I did want to thank you for giving myself and AKS Engineering the opportunity to serve the community as the city engineer since 2014. In that time, we've supported with the city in many different capacities, as far as development review with the high school renovation, the 62-lot subdivision, the Yamhill Park Estates there, in which we were able to work with the developer to create a new community park up there, as well as make the trail connection to the high school. We've helped the city with obtaining funding for the transmission line, which went from the reservoirs into town. That was a major capital project, probably the biggest one I think the city has undertaken in their history, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
We've developed capital improvement plans with the city, evaluated user rates, system development charges, various other capital improvements, including the Olive Street water line, the West First Street street improvements, as well as the Azalea Street improvements. And we always try to work in the best interest of the city. Just, you know, one example I'd like to raise on that was, you know, as we were doing development review for various projects in town, we recognized that the city didn't really have a fee structure for covering any costs that the city was incurring from us doing a review as well as inspecting services. So in both cases with the 62 lot development and this upcoming 57 lot development, we have passed our fees along to the developer and got the city able to recover those fees. Though it's not documented by ordinance or anything like that, we've had those negotiations with the developers to make sure the city is made whole and it's not costing the city money to have these projects come into town. Be grateful to continue supporting the city in this role. I'm not going anywhere. I'm a partner in AKS Engineering and we're here, a local firm in Wallaton. And yeah, I really enjoy working with the city and Jason Air Potter over the years and would like to continue.
When we were meeting, we were going through some of the fees, the fee systems that the city has on record, and you were reviewing them and comparing them to where these are and where they standardly should be.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of give us an idea of the what you were able to teach the city on about fees and how we how much we advanced in what we can request from developers?
Yeah, and I don't have the final answer yet, but what we learned, so what we did is we took a look at the City of Yamhill's fee schedule, and that's fees anything from when someone comes in to, you know, do a general building permit all the way up to a full subdivision. And what we're going through and looking at is how that compares with other local agencies, be it Carlton, Newburgh, and the like. And what we found is that it correlating fees across agencies is pretty challenging, you know, line item for line item. So what we're doing now is going through and going to do a fee summary that shows the city what, you know, say this 57 lot development, how much Yamhill collects on that versus say one of these other local agencies. So we're just about done with that, and we'll have that over to Mayor Potter and Jason and Kim this next week.
And is it true that one of the line item fees, the city was charging $500 and the average other cities were charging around 6,000? Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, so just a really direct example of that is like the land use application for that 57 lot subdivision. Yamhill collects $900. City of Newburgh would have collected $10,000 for that, just on their initial application fee.
So in working with you in this, we can advance our fees dramatically and should be advancing our fees dramatically,
yes,
which then would increase source of revenue dramatically for the city, or at least to recover some of the loss of what we're putting out. Is basically what that is. Is that correct?
You're correct, yeah. Okay. How you realize that comes through development applications, and given the kind of bounds of growth within the community, it would probably be a few years down the road till you'd realize that. But at a minimum, you know, with these last couple developments, and I mentioned this, was that we kind of forced our own fee through the process, because, you know, it was on the 62 lot subdivision, it was about, you know, $40,000 in effort between our plan review fees and then having an inspector on site full-time representing the city as all that work was being done. And, you know, the city had no way of recovering that. Mm-hmm. So we worked with the developer. The developer cut a check and pay for those fees.
So by working with AKS, we have saved tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
In one hand. The other hand, they're going back out.
But. Yeah, I appreciate looking at it that way, Mayor Potter.
But we're not losing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's ways that we were losing money previously where we could have had that revenue and we didn't.
Correct.
Okay. I'm wanting the community to understand the valuable relationship that AK has with the city of Yamhill and the importance of how you communicate with us and how we're able to communicate with you and how that is very productive for us. And it's a good, my perspective, it's a very good working relationship. And I know that I trust that the AKS is working on the city's behalf a majority of the time. So it's always encouraging.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for coming out and visiting with us. We hadn't seen you in a while.
Absolutely, yeah, aside from a few Zoom meetings here and there.
But it isn't the same. Okay.
But I'm happy to stick around and answer any questions that the council may have.
There was a question presented during public comment. Do you want to address that or do you have that information?
Was this related to the impound?
Yes.
Okay. So I think Mr. Lossie asked a few questions. One was about a study to raise the impound, which that was only looked at a really high level. We looked at, you know, what is the elevation of the top of that impoundment now? How much property does the city have up there that would support raising the impoundment? And the answer was none. So there's no ability to increase the storage in that current reservoir that you have up there outside of draining it and digging it out. What we did evaluate was, could you do another impoundment further downstream on Turner Creek? The city owns 60 acres of land, about 1,000 feet upstream of the water treatment plant. And we evaluated what it would cost to put a dam on the stream there and store water there. I think what we were targeting was about 20 million gallons. That was the number that we looked at that would kind of carry the city through a significant drought season through, say, August, September. And what we found with that is it was just a tremendous amount of earthwork to accomplish that, and thus the cost was really significantly higher than it would be to say build an inner tie with the city of Hillsboro. That was found to be a better solution. You have anything to add to that, Jason?
Yeah, I'll add to that, you know, in regards to increasing that impound volume. We also had water resources up there and they said it was a no-go as far as increasing the levels of the damming on the impound. So they had other reasons why, but you know, it was looked at.
Who's they?
Joel Flawn from Water Resources.
So he's the water master.
So we looked at it hard and heavy during that curtailment and struck out. So
okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess on the subject of water, Jason and I have a meeting with Joel and Representative ODFW to look at the logjam project on Friday.
Excellent.
And keep that moving along.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Is there anything else you want to share with us?
John, do you want to share anything about what the developer said in regards to that project as far as the financial end?
Sure. Yeah. So when we did the development review for that, we worked with staff to write a condition that the developer would have to contribute up to $100,000 for that project. And there are, you know, that got put into their conditions of approval, and they are prepared to write a check to the city to reimburse the fees for any efforts related to that logjam project. So that's both the design and permitting fees as well as the ultimate construction of it.
Excellent. We're not taking public comment at this time. Thank you. Anything else?
I don't think so. Not today.
Okay. Great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. All right, Planning Commission, Mr. Ken Moore.
The Planning Commission did not meet in January. There was no business before, so we didn't have a meeting. I'll do my best to move the meeting along and sit down unless you have a comment or a question.
No, I had no comments or questions. There's no updates that occurred outside the meeting or anything you wanted?
Well, what's on the horizon is the application for the gas station is back, and they had to jump through more hoops than they were ready for in January. So my memory correct on that?
Sure. The application is not complete at this time.
Oh, even now?
It's still not complete.
Okay. Well, do we have other business for next Wednesday?
We do have a scheduled presentation by DLCD. I did connect with their representative thought you guys might want to discuss urban growth boundaries,
yeah.
Maybe some of the planning plans that were outdated and, you know, the process for that and potential grant funding for that.
Okay. That sounds like a great agenda.
There we go.
One thing did come to mind. Tomorrow, we're going to Dayton, right? Small cities. I got an invitation, I guess, because I'm a commissioner.
A regional meeting. And I don't think it's just Dayton or just Yamhill County. I think it's several.
And what's a what meeting?
It's a Region 3
yes.
Officials meeting.
Yeah. Are you going to that?
I am not, no.
Okay, I thought I would because I didn't know what it was and it looked good.
Please, okay. Please go.
I'll tell you about it next time.
Yeah, represent the city. We appreciate that. No, it's a great meeting and I think they provide a free meal. So
Yeah.
Great, thank you. And let me know what you learn.
Wonderful.
All right, next is the Water Advisory Committee. Chair Jensen.
Good evening. The Water Advisory Committee did meet in into January. We had Joel from the Water Master from the state in attendance, along with Arthur from Business Oregon. We discussed the log jam. That's kind of what generated getting Joel out here to look at it again and kind of give some direction on how to move forward with that. During that process, we learned that there was some paperwork that the city needed to get updated and filled out in regards to our intake when they moved that downstream. So I know they're working on that. Arthur was going to send some information out and set up a time to come meet with us to review some different grant and funding options out there that might help move the tie line along with some engineering stuff. So
did you receive that email?
No, I did not. I was going to ask you about that.
Did I forward it to you?
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah, I thought all of it. I didn't know that Brian wasn't attached to it.
I thought he was attached to it too. I will recheck the email and
send it to my old one.
That's possible. I may not have your current one.
Okay, I'll get with you after.
Okay, please do, and I'll make sure.
We're going to meet with Arthur and work on that. Jason's been working on with TICE on the water rates, and we're hoping to have that report back in March so we can start reviewing that and see what's all in that, and then with that information, start developing a community town hall to present that and some options. So that's coming in the future. Jason did report to us that they're working on the water meters, and I see it's included in tonight's agenda. The Water Advisory would support that and recommend to council that we move forward, the funding's there, move forward with that project. And we'd ask that you have a completion date of May. We're asking it's completed by the end of the fiscal year. So the Water Committee supports that and would recommend that move forward. Jason also reported that they're replacing two more of the water district meters. leaving four water districts that their meters have not been replaced. The recommendation of the committee, if we can find funding this fiscal year to replace those four meters and get that done. So that way all the water districts are up onto new meters. I think that's just fair across the board. If we're doing part of them, we get them all done, and that way they're up and going. So with that, that's pretty much our report for January. We will meet again in February and hopefully have some more information on the logjam and on some funding.
Great report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When it's all over, can I get your email also so I can get you in touch with the ODI program?
Okay.
And your next meeting is February 28th at 3 p.m. Is that?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you, Brian. And the Yamhill Downtown Association, Kara and Jenny.
Yes, the Yamhill Downtown Association did meet in January. And I'm here to update you on our recent activities. And then also, we would like to ask the council permission to regarding something that we'd like to add to our agenda. But first, I'll go ahead and update y'all. But currently, we are curating for our fourth annual Beverly Cleary Literary Celebration. And that basically highlights children's literacy and celebrates the spirit of Beverly Cleary, as she's a local and international hero. So her birthday is basically on April the 12th, where our special committee head, Amy Brewer, releases her writing and story contests. So we're planning on reaching out to the local school districts and then beyond. And also this year on the agenda is to add a silver tea fundraiser at the Yamhill Christian Church in the spirit of this event. The date is kind of still out there depending on the availability of the venue, but that also celebrates one of the famous autobiographical books that Beverly Cleary kind of put out and celebrates local history of Yamhill and everything children's literacy. So if you guys get that social media, please come, spread the word. And then also on May 13th, this will be our basically our public event. And we like to essentially offer free literary awareness and giveaways and fun family activities to the community and beyond. But we're hoping to have this done at the fire department this year because it has essentially parking, restrooms, and shelter, as the weather is really dicey. Last year we did it in Jane Heinrichs Park and it was really fun, but the weather turned south real fast and it was a little rough. So we're trying to bring everything in-house. So in addition to all the content that we're trying to create, we're expanding on the walking tour and working with Jason from the city to basically enhance the nature trail and add nature signs and just kind of continue that whole thing. And of course, this walking tour not only highlights local history and theory, but it also drives traffic to our local businesses and towns. So that event basically offers free content and celebration and everything good. And the idea is to also drive business to our downtown corridor. Okay, so the fun new thing that we're adding this year features a fun run that will kind of like kick off the events for May 13th. And I will hand it over to Jenny because she's kind of doing the research and the organizing on this one.
Yes, I figured why not add to the agenda and why not do a fun run? So in preparation for that, first I want to make sure that we're here tonight to request or to ask for like the approval of city council, because I know that's an important first step to make this event, you know, official and discussing how things are set up with Carlton and the person who runs all of their events there, getting kind of suggestions on how to properly organize this. The first step is to get city council's approval. And so NoCare is also working on our insurance, like that's important as well.
On it.
Yeah, so, you know, I know that that's important. And then also the discussions with the fire department to be able to utilize and partner with the fire department on the facilities and the kickoff. But what we're hoping to do is have this fun run kind of expand the local focus, and definitely we'll be doing, you know, local promotions. But what I've learned in doing research on this, that if you put it out there, people will come from far and wide. People like to do fun runs. And so there's some sites that we can advertise on and actually recruit people to come and run the event, pay a fee to participate, and that money can go towards a worthy cause, such as an in-town association or something around, you know, the betterment of the community. And so if we can do a 5K run and then also in the discussing with other people who've done these events, we know that we want to kind of keep it on that side of the highway, so we don't have to get approval from like ODOT. I believe that there's something, if you have to have traffic, you know, runners crossing, we want to avoid that. So this would all be like
West Side,
start at the fire department, do the loop. You know, we're working on still the full loop, but for the 5K run, to have it go out Lawrence Valley and then loop up and come around Pike and back around. And then for the kids and family 2K run or walk, that would be kind of keep it along the nature park, nature trail, and kind of loop around. And so kind of have it start and finish, and then have assorted festivities to you know, make it worth everybody's while. And that would kind of be the kickoff for this phase of the whole Beverly Cleary brouhaha that begins in April. So what I'd like to ask is if we can get the approval from City Council, and then also if there's anything that we're not thinking of besides insurance, talking to the fire department. You know, I definitely would like to coordinate with our police department, and I'm going to also be working or approaching the school with the Aspire program for volunteers, because we'll definitely need people to volunteer. And if the kids, you know, seniors are looking for hours or, you know, volunteer time, that would be a great way to get them involved. So that's what we have. And I guess, and yes, if we have your approval, or if there's anything that we're forgetting, I'd love to.
It's a great idea. And you're talking about doing this in April?
That would be on May 13th, excuse me. Yeah, so April 12th is the kickoff with the writing contest.
Okay.
So that's Beverly Cleary's birthday. And then this would be, then there would be the tea fundraiser at a date to be determined in April. And then May 13th would be the actual then literacy celebration. So we would kick it off with the fun run in the morning, kind of like Derby Days kicks off with the fun run early, and then have the celebrations and for the kids who won the different, you know, the writing contest. So have like the whole event then kind of proceed after the run.
So the winners would be then presented on May 13th?
Yes.
That's a great idea.
Yes. Yes. And then we would try to then do more things. You know, we obviously have prizes for the runners and have food and other things that we're working on. But
and that's the day before Mother's Day. That's actually kind of convenient. Yeah.
And I think then with the site that I've learned about, get people to register, and we really would like to, you know, pull in people from outside the community to participate, and, you know, get people to come out to, you know, our lovely neck of the woods, come out to wine country, come participate, bring their dogs, you know, check out the trail and participate in the you know, the nature walk out there, and the have library.
Oh, bookmobile.
Bookmobile, like mobile library. I can't like think straight. But anyway, it's a bookmobile. And so just have this whole wonderful gathering that day around literacy and families, and bring your dog and hit the park and take advantage of your mowing and clearing and all that.
Jason, do you have any ideas or input or requests?
Karen and I spoke, and like I told her, I was fully supportive of the whole idea, the whole concept. Just gave her some contacts, you know, people to contact. And anything we can do down at Public Works. The one thing as we kind of grow into this
probably just knowing where the route is. I can only speak for myself. You know, Graven would probably also want to know which route you guys are going with the jog or with the run, just so we can kind of scope out and have, you know, any kind of signage available to you guys.
Okay. Yeah. And that's part of it too, with the volunteers, to have like any spot where we have a volunteer to point the way. And then and we can talk offline on this, but like with the trail, and then even like mow along the fence.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like,
because then the kids event could all be just right there.
We fully support YDA. I mean, these efforts are phenomenal. So anything we can do for you guys.
So they provided kind of a list of needs.
We've done it before.
We generally just kind of meet there.
We support 100%. Okay. So anything we can do.
What about restroom down in that area? So you mentioned fire hall with restrooms, but that's quite a distance.
Well, because that would be the beginning and the end of the run, that's where we would hope we could take advantage of that. But do you think we would need to then?
I don't know. I was thinking of a school teacher.
Kids can't make it to the fire hall.
Just send them off.
We could have.
Keep them on boat areas.
You know what I mean? We'd have a staff member there.
That's a great idea. I was thinking porta potty, but that would be
in case of an emergency for a kid or
something. Okay, great.
Thanks, Jason. Maybe a porta potty.
Quick question. Have you talked with Vicki Bernstein?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you have any?
She gave me some tips. Thank you.
Do you have any recommendations or requests or concerns?
Yeah, I do. Good discussion, and whatever I can do to help out. Just let me know.
And gentlemen. Thank you. Please go ahead, Chief Graven.
Oh, you guys stop talking, please. We've been asked several times. Thank you.
Excuse me.
Anything that I can do to help out, just please let me know.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, probably a presence during the event. So we'll come to you. Thank you.
And if you have my email, just email me information.
Thank you.
You anticipate they would need a permit for any of the locations there?
Possibly, yeah. It depends on the nature of what they're doing.
Okay.
Or road closures, potentially.
Okay. And then that's the thing, trying to keep it like with road closures, keep it on the west side. So I think there would just be going out, you know, Moores Valley and whatever, the gravel pit. So I think that we'll talk to you about.
Right. Yeah, if it's on the state highway, it'd be over Department of Transportation, or if it's on the county roads.
Okay. Very excited. You have my full support.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody on council? Councilor Askey?
Yeah.
Do you have any input?
I'm all for it. Sounds good.
We're all awesome. In. Thank Let you. Us know how we can
Thank
help.
You. Thank you.
Thank you. No questions at this time. Thank you. The next presentation is Yamhill Neighborhood Association.
Yes, Mayor. My name is Robert Davis. I represent the Yamhill Neighborhood Association. I have just a few items on my agenda. First of all, we talked last council meeting, and I talked about a class on giving grants, learning how to write a grant and all that stuff. Well, I had already sent off an email to Sharon, and Sharon has the information on that particular subject. It's still about 28 days out, so registration is something like $75 for the 5-day classes spread out over a month's period of time. So it's quite involved, but I think it's highly educative. One of our members for YNA, I'm sure, is going to be taking that course. So. If anybody would like to contact me personally, I would be glad to pass along that information of that course. In my spare time, which I have very little, I've been taking or retaking a CERT class, Community Emergency Response Team class. And about 2 years ago, I took the course and passed and became a CERT member and all that good stuff. But I just felt I needed a refresher, because disaster preparedness kind of sneaks up on you when you least expect it. And here, just recently, between the train derailment and the earthquake and everything, it's really even come more to the forefront for me to become ready for any disaster that may occur here. Now, even though we're a small town of 12 or 1300 souls, you know, a disaster would still affect us. In an earthquake, we could lose all access, all fuel, all food, who knows, water, electric, we could lose a lot. So better to be prepared than not. So with that, because I've been taking this course, I was asked to find out what my city's disaster preparedness plan was. And in diving into that, I was shocked to find out that there is the most recent plan that I'm aware of, and I may be corrected here, but the most recent plan for disaster preparedness was 2013. And it may have been updated. It's supposed to have been updated every time there's a change in the city with regard to its preparedness, but and that's the emergency operation plan. But I'm not sure that it has even been looked at. It certainly hasn't been discussed here in the year that I've been coming to the council meetings or the planning commission meetings. So we might all want to dive into the fact that that is severely lacking, along with the hazard mitigation plan. They both work hand in hand. And with the fact that I have attended the CERT class and will continue until March, YNA has decided to have an event here in this city for anybody who's willing to come. And this disaster preparedness for the elderly, disabled, and low income. And we've already scheduled this with CERT. We are sponsoring CERT, and CERT will be here on March 25th at 2 p.m. And they will give a two-hour course or two-hour lesson as to how to be prepared when you're disabled, you're elderly, and you're low income. It is not like the regular CERT class. It's not nearly involved, but it does touch on a lot of the important issues that comes with being ready for disaster. So if anybody would like that information, you can either go to our website or contact me personally, and I will give you the what fors and whereabouts and locations and all that. But that's it for me. Thank you.
I'm really glad to hear that YNA is taking on that as an event project.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Is one that of many.
I was going to say, is that something you plan on continuing? Is
yes, ma'am.
Doing preparedness events and,
yes, ma'am.
And education?
Yes, ma'am.
I encourage you. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
That's wonderful. I think it's important for our community to have that information. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
All right. That is our presentations at this time. We'll move into new business. Project initiation sheets for administration department. Number one, the city of Yamhill, Oregon, as a designated historical district. Chief, are you managing these agenda items, or are you designating somebody else?
Yes, and yes. With this one, we discussed this last month, and what I wanted to do was just to have more of a language in there. So what I've done with these project initiatives, if you look at the project number, so it'll have the 23, which is the year, and then it'll have like this one of the C for city, or like CH would be for City Hall, YPD for, you know, Department, or PW for public work. And then what initiative it is. In this case, this is the city. And again, we talked about this last month. I wanted to have more language in there about the importance of the Planning Commission having direction to look for areas within the city and then to designate areas as historic districts, which there are some of those already in town that I've mentioned in here, and as well as once those things have been established to look for grant funding to be able to beautify the downtown, either keep or restore those or have some type of language in there to make sure that the city looks aesthetically beautiful. So that was the intent of this language. And so I wanted to just, even though we discussed it, present that a little more and have some better understanding of what the language and what the intent to the community of what the city's interest is in doing.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And the current status of this particular project, it says project started January 13th. Has it been taken to the Planning Commission? And do you know the status of it from there?
I don't at this point. So that's why I wanted to do this. And that way they have direction on where to go and be able to present the Inspector Project Initiative to them. Clarify their role if we have the direction of council and approval of council.
Excellent. Do you need a consensus from council?
For these, I think that would be great just to have a understanding what the council's decisions are on these types of things and if there's things that need to be brought back to the table for whomever is working on the project initiatives to do more work or have other languages or what the interests of the council are.
Okay.
Implementing. So these are a document, but they can be a working document, a live document that we can continue to look at.
Just getting it down on paper and getting a picture.
Get it on paper, it's tangible. The Planning Commission can look at this instead of having somebody come in there and after hearing direction from the council and then having somebody go and explain it to the Planning Commission, whereas this is what we all read and this is what the Planning Commission understands. That's what the other project initiatives that we've been working.
Brilliant.
That's bad. Yeah.
Does council have any questions?
No.
Anything?
Looks good.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and get a consensus vote. We'll start.
Horgan, aye.
Chara, Potter, aye.
Hadeen, aye.
Ask, yeah.
Please proceed with the designated historical district project. Number two is City Hall telephone automated menu screen update phone tree automated billing system.
And this one, I guess, understanding. So this is going to be something that will help triage calls within the City Hall. So right now we have two lines, actually three lines, two of the lines that ring in, one is the fax line. And when the phones are busy, there's no one to be able to answer the phone, so we miss calls. I think since I've been here, the same answering machine and cordless phone. But as soon as you pick up, the battery dies. And that is our
phone. For 25 years, we've had the same phone system.
It's kind of cool. It's awesome.
Holy cow.
So what my intent and interest in being and working with the staff and with Ken is working with Comcast to find out what they have and what a cost would be to implement some type of a phone tree system. Not a concern, because our intercom system right now is we yell at each other, which works. But there are times when staff is not here, or there's times when they're on the phone and they're really busy. So to help triage calls, because as I have seen, and when I answer the phone, oftentimes it ends up being, well, I need to pay my ticket. We can't find you. Are you sure it's us? Well, yes, the Yamhill Circuit Court. Okay, that's not us. So having something in there that could triage those calls, it would automatically push this button to go to the 911 or the dispatch center for non-emergency call, or this number to go to circuit court and then the police department and so forth. So trying to figure out a system that will help triage those calls to cut down on staff time of being on the phone with all the other responsibilities, as well as just having something in place for us all to be able to have more time to be there instead of triaging phone calls.
How do you think this will impact customer service?
Well, that's why I want to check, is because it can be frustrating when you call and you have this automated system that you hit this button and pretty soon you're listening to the same thing over again. So it could potentially have an impact on that, but I don't think it'll be a high impact. I know that the staff likes to be able to have that personable, which I'm going to talk about in another initiative that I've been working on. But so they like to have that personal time, but there's times when people call in and they'll call sometimes 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day just to let staff know what they're doing throughout the day, which can be good, but it can be kind of cumbersome, which staff have expressed to me. So it's something to look at. It's a working document at this point and getting information back and see if it's something that's cost effective. Okay. So pros and the cons are that just that, that could cut down on that personability with the community, but those people.
But if we're losing calls because we've only got the two lines, then that might help with that.
Which would cut down on that frustration of people not being able to call in.
Yeah.
We're getting the answers.
We're getting a busy signal.
Has the annoying beep once there's a message on there.
Okay. And how's, what staff think of this? This initiative, this project?
The exact conversations that we're having.
Yeah. Perfect. Good. And so they're being included in the discussions?
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Do you need consensus from council?
Yes, please.
Is there any discussion from council on this?
Just consensus to move forward with your research.
Yeah.
All right.
They're organized.
Victoria.
Otter
eye, Adina.
Eskia. Move forward. And you'll keep us appraised, I'm sure. And project initiative sheets to the, okay. Yamhill Police Department, initiate more proactive city ordinance. Ordinance code violation enforcement in the city of Yamhill. This one I'm excited about.
Yeah, so kind of to bring the community and the public in on that, I think that for the most part, everyone's aware that we had some work sessions with the staff and the council, figure out things that we can do throughout the community. And one of those was a lot of concerns about city ordinance violations, code violations. Whereas we've been reactive to that. So what'll happen is someone will complain. We go talk to that person and then that person complains. So it's kind of like a circle effect or trifecta that we end up talking with 2 or 3 people that's all reactive. There's been conversation with intent and transparency to do this one is the fact that we're going to be out and have been out proactively talking with, or let me rephrase that, proactively looking for city ordinance code violations. And what we're doing at this point that I'm hoping will work is to have the officer go out, document what the code violations, city ordinance violations are, and then bring that back and a letter will be sent out, which is addressed from me, from the city, of what the violations are and then what is required of them to correct those violations. And if that doesn't take effect of compliance, then the officer will go back, the police officer will then go out and make contact for the first time